Okay, let's jump to the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha is one of those prakim that people skip over and ignore as much as they possibly can, so it's worth talking about. Perek Lamed Vav is Ela
Toldot.
Ela Toldot Esav, who Adam. These are the Toldot of Esav, and you find out Esav lakach neshav v'kanan et adav bar elon achidi v'ralev emabara nabat zivon achivi v'rod bar bar yishmael achot nevayot v'tel et adad alifaz v'obasmat yaldat ruel, etc. And then after you hear about his wives, so then you find out that that he moved. He moved out because of Yaakov, because between the two of them they were too wealthy. They couldn't be in the same place. So where did he move to?
Adam.
Adam. And then you get a second Toldot Esav, which is even weirder. Ve'elo Toldot Esav avi Adom Bahar Seir.
Why?
Right? In the middle of the Psukim, and Eile Shemot ben Esav, Eliphaz ben Adasher, Esav, Eshet Esav, Ruel ben Matzmat, Eshet Esav, Ayub ben Eliphaz, Teiman, Omer, Tzvel, Vigatam, Ukanaz. And it goes on as follows. And then you get in Tedvav, Eile Alufei ben Esav, Eliphaz, Bechor Esav, Aluf, Teiman, Aluf, Omer, Aluf, Tzvel, Aluf, Kanaz, Aluf, Korach, Aluf, Gatam, Aluf, Amalek, etc., etc., etc.
Why is that doing multiple lists? Why can't they just be...
And then in Pasuk Chaf, if that wasn't enough, you get Eile b'nei Seir ha'chori yoshvei ha'aretz. Right? And this goes on to Pasuk Lamed, and then in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, you get Ve'eile melechem asher malchu be'eretz adam lifnei melech melech be'eretz be'levnei Yisrael. And these are the kings that they had before the kings of the Jews, which of course is leads to problems of what does that mean? We don't have kings for many, many years. Is this pasuk written later? And all the machlokes Rishonim around that, which I don't want to get into.
At that time, there was no king.
Good. So this goes on for 43 psukim. And that's impressive, considering that's 43 psukim that you've all probably ignored in the parsha in its entirety. So why is it here? And what is it doing? And why does Esav, of all people, get two Eile Toldot? One for himself, and then one his political clans. And what is the point? What is going on? What are these 43 Sukkim doing?
In a sense, you know, you can kind of reason that the first Toldot is just in Canaan, and then it says they moved to Har Seir, and then it continues.
Good. So why is this all here?
So that's just one.
Good. So why is this here?
Well, because we know that Yaakov is going to grow and become this big nation. But we're also told that Esav is also going to become this big nation. But now Hashem is kind of giving proof that just because he's giving a bracha to someone not Yaakov.
Good. So part of it is that part of it is that we hear about the promise that Avram is going to have many great nations. Good. That's part of it. Part of it is that obviously Esav is being written out at this point, just like we had with Ishmael, that this is much more extensive than Ishmael. But there's still that one pasuk in the middle of it you've got to explain, which is, he gets what nobody else gets, which is, these are the kings that were in Esav, Lifnei Melech Melech, Lifnei Yisrael. And what does that tell you? Because that seems to be
important,
very important in it. This is Yoni Grossman's theory on this parak, and he argues that this parak is in fact one of the most important prakim in Chumash. I'm in Breishit to understand it. Of course,
yeah,
it is. What?
Isn't there a Gemara that says this is very important?
No, it's the example of the things which are not important, right?
But they're still important.
Right. Yes, exactly. And here's what he suggests. Why is it that the Jews do not get to, in practice, inherit Israel during the time of the Avot?
They're not really a nation yet.
Yeah, they're not a nation.
Very good. Because they're not yet a nation, they are only a family. And what's the problem? What happens if someone who's not yet a nation tries to take over a land?
It's going to resplit.
Well, they might get killed, or
they settle the land.
There's two possibilities. Either they lose, or
as they grow, they
what?
Split.
They win, they can't properly settle it. It's just a small...
Or, how do they successfully settle it?
They spread out.
No.
Tons of kids and having people.
No.
They live in a small area.
No.
They intermarry.
Thank you. They intermarry. Right? How do we know that? Because that was earlier in this parsha. Is that other clans offer to marry with them, and they become a nation, not themselves, but
everyone.
By intermarrying, and they become part of a political alliance that eventually turns into a nation. So what would have happened if Yaakov's family had been given Israel fully at this point?
We wouldn't be here.
Yes, they wouldn't have been a nation. They wouldn't have been the Jewish nation. And therefore, they first need to become a nation and then come back, because if a whole nation comes and conquers the land, then they have a chance of making their identity part and parcel of the nation without intermarriage, without just melting into the other cultures. How do we know that?
This Perek.
Why? Because what? Well, obviously that was the answer, but how do we know that?
Because Esav's family didn't intermarry.
Correct, because Esav moves in and inherits Seir when they're still just a clan. And how do they inherit it? So let's go back to the Psukim. Esav lakach neshav mino Kenan. Et Ada bat Elon achiti, ver olim bat Ana bat Zivon hachivi. The answer is, how did Esav manage to have so many kings in his family before Yaakov has it? Because he married a chiti, and he married a chivi, ver vasbat by Yishmael achot nevayot, and he married in Yishmael. Right? And then, you find out later on, why is there a second Toldot Esav?
That was after the
Israel. Because this is his family, and then you find out that how does he actually take over Edom? The Eila told Esav Avi Edom Bahar Seir. Eila Shmo ben Esav, Eliphaz ben Adah Eshed Esav, Ruel ben Masad Eshed Esav. So you get all these Alufim from him. Ela b'nei Esav, Ela ufem hu Edom, and then what do you get in Pasuk Chaf? And Ela b'nei Seir, ha-chori yoshve ha-aretz, lo-tan v'shav ha-tzivam na-na, and these are the older people living there, the chori, v'dishan v'etzer v'dishan, Ela ufem ha-chori b'nei Seir b'eretz Edom. And you discover that all these people who make up Esav's family are not just him, but the alufei, ha-chori, and all those are wrapped into Hamalachim Asher Malchu Be'eretz Edom Lefnei Melach Melach Lefnei Yisrael, which means you find out that he's intermarrying, you find out that he is Edom, but Edom is also just as much the Alufei HaChori, right? And all these people, and Yoni Grossman says, you want to understand what the point of this parak is, it's that one pasuk. Is that the reason that Esav is successful in building a nation in Edom way before the Jews are, is because it's not just Esav, because Esav has no problem intermarrying, Esav has no problem integrating. So fine, he's the dominant force, but he's not the only force, and Edom is therefore this conglomerate of Esav and all his intermarried clans. But the reason that the Jews have to wait until they're a nation is because that's not what God wants. God wants them to move in to Israel as a nation so that they can imprint their identity on it. And if you want to point to two proofs, right? One is obviously this week's parsha, where that's clearly what's going on in Hamor and Shechem's mind, which is, hey, here's a powerful clan, let's marry with them. And the whole dialogue is what? Shimon and Levi say, no, we can't integrate with someone unless they have a Brit Milah. Meaning, we can't just integrate. If we're going to integrate, it has to be on our terms. And then even that's a ruse and they kill them. Right? But right? But there is this dialogue of, we want you to be part of us. The response is, we theoretically can be if you make certain concessions. Right? We'll make concessions. You'll make concessions. Right? That's the type of dialogue that's going on. And the other part is that story comes to fruition in a halachic sense, when what is God's number, one of God's central warnings as the Jews actually move into Israel?
And don't.
Don't intermarry, right? Because you might be influenced, because you might marry their children and be led astray. Meaning, even when we come as a nation, the thing that God has to tell us over and over is, you go in and you don't marry them. You don't marry them because then you'll take their culture, then you'll worship Avodah Zarah. This is the perpetual fear of Chumash. is that we will move in and not successfully create a nation that reflects our identity. The solution to that is to leave, become a nation, and only then return. And point two is that when we then come back, insist that because we are now capable of doing this, that we remain separate and we don't marry into nations of land, thereby integrating. Right? And that seems to be the point of this parak, because Esav, who did not have those strictures, did not do it, managed to become a nation much earlier, but it was a conglomerate nation rather than one that maintained just Esav's identity.
Right. It's interesting because a couple of psukim before Toldot Esav, it lists Toldot Yaakov and it says Ve'ela Toldot Yaakov, but then when it starts Toldot Esav, it says Ve'ela Toldot Esav Hu Edom.
Yeah, meaning, right, Yaakov is still just the family, and that's exactly the point. Yaakov is still just a family, he has some children. Esav very quickly becomes
a nation.
A nation with alufim and etc. Lifnei Melech Melech Livnei Israel. Aluf is like a chieftain.
Okay.
A muchtar.
Okay, because the only word I can think of for aluf is like a champion, and that
doesn't
really help here. Or aleph. No, aluf is modern Hebrew for champion, right. You are correct. Right? You'll hear Israelis use that word all the time.
I use that word.
Right? Is aloof, right? Things like that. No, that's not what it means here. It means a chieftain.